What's going on, y'all? And good morning on this day, Tuesday, October 8th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for with Sixers basketball. It's your boy, Jimmy J. Sorry for the little bit of a hoarse voice. I'm coming off of my good friend's wedding this weekend in York, Maine. So you know when a wedding happens, you know you got to throw down, you know you got a party. So sometimes the voice is a little hoarse, but worry not. I was back in time to watch Sixers basketball, the start of Sixers preseason, because it's here, y'all, and they took on the New Zealand Breakers of the NBL, and I'm getting ready to break that down. But before I do, make sure you're following me at Jimmy J on Twitter. Make sure you're following the pod at Clap Your Hands Pod on Twitter. I was live tweeting during the game last night, giving my thoughts in game as well as some immediate post game thoughts. And then my man, my partner, Elliot Shore Parks, put out a nice graphic on the Clap Your Hands Pod account about his immediate takeaways from the game last night. So make sure you're following us on and the podcast, you know, for all that good content in and after Sixers games. So I know you guys are already aware of how we normally do the agenda of these daily pods. I know you guys are locked in with me, and I appreciate that. But now that we have actual Sixers basketball to watch and to break down, I'm going to do the morning pods the day after games a little different. So the morning after we have a Sixers game is going to be my takeaways from the night before. Okay, so we won't do the normal, you know, kind of schedule breakdown unless it's a back-to-back and we have a, you know, a schedule update or there's practice or there is something to update you guys on there. But, you know, all kind of practice, schedule, you know, injury, news will all be just news if there's news to hit. But if there's not, then it's going to be just takeaways from the night before. So that's what we have, right? We have their first preseason game, the Sixers' first preseason game against the New Zealand Breakers of the NBL. Like I said, on Monday, October 7th, it was at the Wells Fargo Center. So I guess the news, if we had to break down any news, is that Joel Embiid and Paul George did not play in the Sixers' first preseason game. They were, healthy inactives. You know, it's not surprising that two big, you know, kind of veterans and big stars like that wouldn't play in a game like this against, you know, not NBA competition in a preseason game. That doesn't matter. As long as there's no injury tied to why they didn't play, I didn't see it as a big deal. No one else seemed to see it as a big deal. It's probably kind of standard procedure for something like this. So that continues Joel Embiid's kind of offseason with the Sixers, I'll say, of not scrimmaging or not doing kind of live 5-on-5 since the start of training camp and now into the preseason. So we still have yet to see Joel Embiid go down up the court with fives with this Sixers squad. So that's probably something we see for the first time, hopefully. It's something we see for the first time Friday when they go and take on the Timberwolves in, remember, Des Moines, Iowa, not in Minnesota, in Iowa. But like I said, no Embiid and no Paul George. So then let's get into some of the takeaways, because it kind of stems off that. The first takeaway I have from this Sixers game, it actually had to do with the starting lineup. And this is kind of more of an observation than it is a straight takeaway, because when the Sixers announced their starting lineups, you know, obviously it was going to have Maxey in there. It was going to have Kelly Oubre, Caleb Martin. But with no Embiid and no Paul George, Eric Gordon and Andre Drummond got the start. Andre Drummond, not a surprise, because God's going to be the backup center. I'm going to get into his play and how promising his play was in a little bit. And one of my takeaways. And I guess Eric Gordon isn't surprising, but I was interested to see, without Paul George in that lineup, who was going to be the person that was going to replace them. Were they going to go with someone like Yabusele and see how a big lineup, you know, next to Andre Drummond look, and how, you know, Yabusele kind of impacted the starting lineup? Were they going to go Reggie Jackson and have him out there with Maxey as two ball handlers in the starting lineup? Kyle Lowry, kind of same thing, but they went with Eric Gordon, and I liked it. I like the way EG kind of fit into that starting lineup. That kick out shooting guard that Maxey has, or anybody has, when they're driving, you know, that one pass away kick out three that Maxey has, that short kick out, And it went to him one time for, I think, EG's first bucket was a kickout three, a deep three from Eric Gordon that went in, already showing kind of his catch and shoot ability that was marketed as to why what he could bring to the Sixers team. So I liked, you know, Eric Gordon in the starting lineup. Hopefully we don't have to see that too much. But if we do have a situation where Paul George isn't in the starting lineup, isn't going, and Eric Gordon is the person that Nick Nurse decides to put in that starting lineup, I thought, you know, he did a very good job and it looked good. So EG got the start along with Andre Drummond, but no Embiid and no Paul George kind of cleared the way for this to be Maxey's night. And that brings me to my first takeaway of this game, a victory from the Sixers. I guess I said the score at the top, a 139-84 victory from the Sixers against the New Zealand Breakers. But my first takeaway is Tyrese Maxey and how he looked in this game, especially to start. Because coming out the start, it was playmaker Maxey. Right. It was distributing, trying to see, you know, what the defense is giving him, Tyrese Maxey, and not, you know, go right downhill and score Tyrese Maxey. His first two plays were assists. They weren't scoring. They weren't looking at the basket. He didn't even have a field goal attempt until, I believe, like seven and a half minutes left in the first quarter. So almost the first half of the first quarter went by before Tyrese Maxey even attempted a shot. But his first two stats on the stat sheet were assists, I believe, to Andre Drummond and to Kelly Oubre. So Maxey came out and from the jump was looking to playmake, was looking to get his teammates involved. But then it quickly shifted because he went from playmaker Maxey to scoring Maxey very quickly. After those two assists, his next nine stats were points. He rounded off 9 points before he registered another stat. And they seemed to come like very quickly, electrifying. And it came all over the floor, whether it was kind of step back threes, you know, sidestep threes, attacking the basket, getting downhill, even put someone on his hip one time and got a little big guard going in there. So then Tyrese Maxey went right from playmaking and distributing to I'm going to score and be the guy who put points up. And I thought that was interesting because the starting lineup kind of cleared the way for Maxey to do that right from the beginning, right? With no Paul George and no Embiid, that was definitely Maxey's opportunity to really command that unit, be the scorer in that unit, and go and hunt his shot without really having to make sure, you know, that someone else is getting theirs or putting the ball in someone else's hands or getting someone in their spot. But at the same time, we know Tyrese Maxey is trying to develop into more of a playmaker. Is trying to, you know, be more of a facilitator and be more of that, not traditional point guard, but be a point guard in that offense. So I was interested to see how he came out to start and which kind of lane he picked to start that game with those two options available. And it looked like playmaker to start that in the first half of the first quarter. And then he was like, look, man, I need to go get my shot, right? You look around in this offense and it's me, Kelly Oubre, Eric Gordon, Andre Drummond, or Caleb Martin. So I need to be the scorer. I need to be the catalyst for this offense. And he did. He ended up leading the Sixers in scoring even by the end of the game, even without playing most of the game. 15 points, 15 points, 3 assists, and a rebound. So we started off with 2 assists, no points, no rebounds, ended off with 15 points, and then only added one more assist after those 2 assists. So he's like, hey, got you your buckets. Now I'm going to get mine. And Tyrese Maxey did it on an efficient night, too. 5 for 7 from the field, 4 for 5 from 3-point range. So Maxey looked like Maxey doing Tyrese Maxey things. You saw my guy Elliot Shore Parks quote tweet me and said Tyrese Maxey is going to have a huge year. I couldn't agree more. He's absolutely going to have a great year. Looked great against the New Zealand Breakers. It took advantage of the fact that he was the catalyst in the offense tonight. And we'll see if that changes on Friday and even moving forward. If we have PG and Embiid in the starting lineup on Friday's preseason game, it may be playmaker Maxey for more than just the first half of the first quarter. So we will see that moving forward. My next takeaway is going to have to do with a guy I mentioned earlier, and Andre Drummond, and coming in and just being a factor. He was a factor in the starting lineup. He's not always going to be in the starting lineup. Most of the season, he won't be in the starting lineup. But tonight he was. He took advantage of it. 11 points, 7 rebounds, 5 for 7 from the field. I believe he also, did he have a block in there as well? He did. Had a block and a steal. So Andre Drummond just impacting the game in so many ways. And for most teams, seeing your what will be your backup center kind of play that well wouldn't be as exciting, right? Seeing your backup center being a plus 23 on the court and a plus minus wouldn't be so exciting for most franchises. But for the simple fact of the matter, it is for the Sixers. And I'm not going to sit here and plainly lay out all the reasons why, because we know all the reasons why. But seeing that kind of play from what is going to be our backup center to me was so refreshing. That is, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. It's low-key one of the best pickups that Daryl Morey had this summer, one of the best pickups that nobody is talking about, is going and getting not just a guy like Andre Drummond, but Andre Drummond in particular. His activity on both the offense and defensive end, the offensive and defensive glass was amazing. Of those 7 rebounds, it looks like 3 of them were offensive. So getting his teammates extra possessions, it was great. And it's something that for the past 2 years, the Sixers just haven't had at the backup center spot. And they've searched for, they've wanted that. They've hoped that guys were going to come in and be that role. They hoped that guys were going to develop into that role. A guy like Paul Reed, like there were just guys that they were looking for or hunting for. And that's such a luxury that when Embiid goes off the floor, that we don't have such a dip in production. We could take a look at the numbers of the past 2 years of Embiid on and off the floor, and it's insane at the numbers and the lack of productivity the Sixers get from that center spot when Embiid's under the floor. It looks like Andre Drummond is here to fix that. I'm so happy with that. Great with Andre Drummond. He's just a great guy, a guy who's familiar with the Sixers and the city and this organization, a guy who's a fan favorite. You saw he went out and supported Embiid in his memory to Arthur, in memory of Arthur Block party at the Allen Horowitz Six Man Center. Andre Drummond was, you know, one of the guys in attendance supporting his man. He said that he's mentoring Adem Bona, the Sixers' second-round pick, who's also a center, probably going to spend most of his time at the Delaware Blue Coats, said he's happy to mentor someone like him. So a great guy and a great player, and Andre Drummond, he made his presence felt tonight against the New Zealand Breakers, and I hope that we just continue to see that with him. So great on Andre Drummond. I love that. Love to see him do that. So my next big takeaway is another guy who's going to be occupying the big man spot, and a guy who we saw a lot of good from tonight, but a guy that, you know, if no one else is going to do it, I'm going to be the one to point out kind of where I saw flaws in his game. Gershon Yabusele, the Frenchman coming over from France and the EuroLeague, and playing in the Sixers' second stint in the NBA, as I mentioned, kind of in one of my previous daily pods. He did a stint with the Celtics a couple years ago and is now back around in the NBA and with the Sixers this year. So Gershon Yabusele, 6 for 6 from the field. 15 points, right? 6 for 6 from the field, 15 points to tie the Sixers in leading scoring with Maxey. 1 for 1. From the three-point line. So he saw 100% field goal percentage today, 100% three-point percentage today. Yabusele was a factor on the offensive end and did it in a bunch of ways. Obviously had the three-pointer in there, but has a great kind of presence around the rim, has a great way of doing, you know, kind of one dribble, one power dribble and making a move and getting into the rim, and then great finishing ability around the basket as well. So I love to see that from Yabusele. You know, it looked like he's going to have kind of no trouble, you know, getting his shot off and being able to be crafty in the lane, even with, you know, maybe not being the biggest frame, being kind of a 6'9 guy in the lane. He's going to be able to do something in there and be able to have success in there. So that's good. So I love that what he was able to bring, his activity. He looked like he was smart on the offensive end too. When to set screens, when to pop, when to roll, when to cut, just all those kind of smart basketball IQ plays on the Sixers offensive end. And he looked like he was commanding that five spot a lot, right? It looked like him and Andre Drummond didn't share the floor too many times, so he's going to have to play big when he's on the floor, when he sees minutes this year. But to that point, those were a couple of things that, you know, I hope that we can see improvement from Yabusele, and that's just playing bigger, especially on the defensive end, right? Like, on the defensive end, there were a lot of times where he kind of got moved out of his spot, and he got out-rebounded a lot. I know we love to talk about kind of the points, but he ended tonight with one rebound, right? He played majority of that kind of third quarter. He played a lot of minutes and saw a lot of minutes without Andre Drummond. He saw a lot of minutes where he was the biggest guy on the floor and simply got out-rebounded. He got beat to the floor for a couple of loose balls too, a couple of hustle plays he didn't get to. And this was an opportunity to just absolutely show that you're ready to come back into the NBA. It's against the New Zealand Breakers, right? No disrespect to them, but if you're getting out-rebounded by that competition, I can only imagine what's going to happen when you go up against NBA competition, even backup bigs, because backup bigs in the NBA, that's all they do is rebound. That's all they do is kind of patrol the paint and play big in there. So that's something that I wasn't kind of happy or encouraged to see from Yabusele, is him not impacting the glass in that way, kind of not impacting the paint in that way. Still a plus 17 in the box score, but like I said, one rebound, no blocks to kind of show for that effort. So Gorshon Yabusele did so many great things tonight, did a lot of great things. And you know, for an offensively driven league, will I take the trade-off of 6-for-6 from the field, including 1-for-1 from three-point range, being perfect from the field? Maybe. But here's what I can say is we cannot bank on Yabusele shooting 100% from the field. I'm not even sure we can bank on Yabusele seeing that many looks on a nightly basis, right? Like, he's going to have to be able to kind of impact the game in those other ways. And he didn't do that as much tonight. Now, very first game of the preseason, so much basketball to be played, so much room for improvement. I expect to see that, but I didn't see it tonight. And just as a, you know, an analyst of basketball, you know, I have to point that out, that I didn't see that. So Yabusele, a lot of great things, just a little bit, you know, that we have to improve on. Speaking of being great on the offensive end and not good on the defensive end, Sixers rookie Jared McCain is my last big takeaway from the Sixers win against the New Zealand Breakers, because the brother can play on the offensive end. We saw that, especially can shoot. Jared McCain came out and was kind of not shy to get that three-point shot off, and that's good, because that's where he's going to kind of make it's where everyone thinks he's going to make his biggest impact in the NBA, especially to start. So Jared McCain, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. He even has 2 blocks. Zero blocks, 2 turnovers. But Jared McCain, 15 points, 7 rebounds from the rookie. So sorry to mess that up. So 15 points officially and 7 rebounds. So ties Yabusele and Maxey for the leading scorers tonight. But Jared McCain, a lot of confidence was flowing from the rookie. And we all saw that kind of highlight of the no dip three that we like to call that now, like kind of look trademarked by Nick Batum. So that quick release is on display from Jared McCain. His ability to get his shot off in tight spaces and quickly is very good. The form is super tight and compact, and the muscle memory is there. It seems to be the exact same form every single time he shoots. And he showed the range a little bit too, right? There was a couple of threes he missed, but he looks like he knows like how to line those up. He looks like he can find the distance or find the range from that distance and isn't afraid to pull it. So that's good. He's going to be a very good floor spacer if and when he finds NBA action in this game. But if I look at the box score, Jared McCain was able to get up 14 shots tonight. 5 of 14 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3. So while it was impressive that he's able to find those shots, able to get those shots up and not afraid to get those shots up, if and when Jared McCain finds NBA minutes this season, he will not see anywhere near 14 shots. He will not see anywhere near 9 3-point attempts. So when I look at what Jared McCain has to do, he has to especially, we talk about Yabusele has to impact the game in other ways. Jared McCain has to find ways to impact the game in other ways, not just his three-point shooting and his scoring. I'm not saying, don't emphasize that because that's what you do well, but you're going to have to find other ways to impact the game. And, my guy ESP tweeted tonight that Jared McCain might be unplayable on defense. And I wasn't going to say it that harshly, but it's true. Like he struggled a lot on defense. Look, he's a rookie. It's going to happen. He's going to have to adjust to the speed and strength of the NBA game, but that wasn't even an NBA team. And I don't know if Parker Jackson Cartwright is promised a 10-day contract after this game, but that brother was looking at Jared McCain like he was a kid on the schoolyard, right? Like he was looking at Jared McCain like he was playing him for his Xbox. Like he was going right at Jared McCain, knew he was a rookie, knew this was his first action, and Parker Jackson Cartwright said, I don't care if I play for the NBL. I'm a vet in this thing, and I'm going to teach you a thing or two. So it was tough. Put him in a bunch of ball screens, was getting downhill on him. You saw him do a couple step backs from the foul line. He was just, giving him all sorts of looks in the defensive end, and Jared McCain was in a blender. Jared McCain was lost a little bit, and it was tough to see that. But, the rookie's going to take his lumps. The rookie's going to have times where he looks like a rookie, especially on the defensive end. So that's something that is going to have to be a point of emphasis for McCain. He's definitely going to have to work on that moving forward because, like I said, if he's going to find any NBA minutes, he can't be that bad on the defensive end. He can't. He's going to have to, get better to keep, keep minutes and keep a spot in the rotation if he ever finds one. He also had some moments on offense where, he showed some rookie moments too. I believe it was the end of the third quarter. We had a very bad turnover. He was driving to his right, thought he had someone in the corner and just threw it right out of bounds. Probably was looking at the bench and thought he saw somebody. The three-point shooting was great. The quick release was great. The floor spacing was great. But, kind of the getting downhill, putting the ball on the floor, and then obviously the defensive end are two things that he's going to have to really clean up, as he moves forward. But I expect the rookie to do that, and everyone else does too. Remember, that's the training camp standout. So the Sixers kick off their preseason with a 139-84 victory over the New Zealand Breakers of the NBL. So we're all happy that Sixers basketball is back, y'all. And I'm so happy that I get to break down, some real kind of game tape with you guys. So like I said, we'll get back to the kind of regular routine of things tomorrow. And as I break down kind of schedule news, and we'll get back to some analysis and my one thing to leave you guys with as you go about your day, thinking of Sixers basketball. But until then, I'll see you guys. See you guys tomorrow.